Gloria Davis crossed the road towards the Odeon on legs that weaved a little as if she was tipsy or rickety. She wasn't either, really. It was just the high-heeled shoes worn for the first time specially for today. She couldn't see Mr. Hughes Evans anywhere in the crowd of people waiting for their friends on the steps of the Odeon. She knew at once then that he hadn't really meant it. After all, what could an inspector of taxes, assessment section, see in an 18-year-old contometer operator? Just then, a tall man who'd been standing close by took off his beige Macintosh hat with a drill-like movement, keeping his elbow close to his chest. It was Mr. Hughes Evans.
"Hello, Gloria," he said.
He watched her for a bit, a smile showing round the curly stem of the pipe he was biting. Then he added,
"Didn't you recognize me, Gloria?"
"Oh, sorry, Mr. Hughes Evans. I sort of just didn't see you."
The hat and the pipe had put her off completely, and she was further confused by being called Gloria twice already.
He nodded, accepting her apology and explanation. He put his hat on again with a ducking gesture, then removed his pipe.
"Shall we go in? Don't want to miss the news."
While Mr. Hughes Evans bought 2 2- and 4-pennies, Gloria noticed he was carrying a string bag full of packets of potato crisps. She wondered why he was doing that. It was very dark inside the cinema itself, and Mr. Hughes Evans had to click his fingers for a long time and tremendously loudly before an usherette came. At last they were settled in full view of the screen, on which the Duke of Edinburgh was playing polo. Mr. Hughes Evans asked Gloria loudly whether she could see all right, and when she whispered that she could, he offered her a chocolate.
"They're rather good," he said.
The main feature was on first. As soon as Gloria could tell that it was old-fashioned, she was afraid she wouldn't enjoy it. Nobody did anything in it. They just talked. Some of the talking made Mr. Hughes Evans laugh for a long time at a time, and once or twice he nudged Gloria. When he did this, she laughed too, because it was up to her to be polite and not spoil his pleasure. Gloria kept wondering if Mr. Hughes Evans was going to put his arm round her. She'd never yet gone to the pictures in male company without at least this happening, and usually quite a lot more being tried on. But somehow, Mr. Hughes Evans didn't seem the man for any of that. He was older than her usual escorts to start with, and to go on with, there was something about that Macintosh hat and that string bag which made it hard to think of him putting his arm round anyone, except perhaps his mother. The second film promised to be full of interesting things. There were some lovely dresses. The star looked just like another star Gloria had often wished she looked like. And there was a scene in a kind of flash nightclub with dim lights, men in tailcoats and a modern band. The star was wearing a terrific evening dress with sequins and had a white fur round her shoulders. A man with a smashing profile sitting at the bar turned and saw her. Her eyes met his for a long moment. Gloria swallowed and leant forward in her seat. Mr. Hughes Evans nudged Gloria and said,
"Don't think much of this, do you? What about some tea?"
"Oh, we haven't got to go yet, have we?"
"Well, we don't want to sit through this, do we?"
In the foyer, Gloria said, "Well, thank you very much, Mr. Hughes Evans. I enjoyed the film ever so much." But he wasn't listening. He was looking wildly about as if he'd just found himself in a lady's cloakroom. "The crisps! I've left them inside and I shan't be able to remember the seat. You come too, Gloria, please." After a lot more finger-clicking inside, they found the row. In the beam of the usherette's torch, Gloria saw that their seats were already occupied. Mr. Hughes Evans began shuffling sidelong away from her. There was some disturbance. Gloria, waiting in the aisle, turned and looked at the screen. The man with the profile was dancing with the star now, and all the other people had gone back to their tables and were watching them. Gloria watched them too, and had forgotten where she was when a moderate uproar slowly broke out and slowly moved towards her. It was Mr. Hughes Evans with the crisps, which were rustling and crunching like mad. Men's voices were denouncing him, some of them loudly, and one of the loud ones using words Gloria didn't like. In fact, one word was the word she called that word. Her cheeks went hot.
Mr. Hughes Evans was saying things like,
"I'm very sorry, old boy," and "hurts me as much as it hurts you."
And every so often he laughed cheerily. Everywhere people were calling, "Shh!" But Gloria couldn't think of anything to do to help. A long time later they were outside again, and it was clear at once that the rain had stopped holding off hours ago. Mr. Hughes Evans took her arm and said they'd better run for it. And that was what they did. They ran a long way for it, and fast, too, so that the high heels were doing some terrible slipping and skidding. Opposite Woolworth's, Gloria nearly did the splits, but Mr. Hughes Evans prevented that, and was just as effective when she started a kind of sliding football tackle towards a lady in bifocal glasses carrying a little boy. That was just outside Bevan and Bevan's, and Gloria didn't mind it much because she'd guessed by now that they were going to D'Alessio's, a fairly flash Italian restaurant frequented by the car-owning classes. There was a queue in D'Alessio's, and Gloria panted out the news that she was going to the cloakroom, where there was another but shorter queue. While she waited her turn, she felt her hair, which must have been looking dreadful, and wondered about her face, to which she'd applied some of the new liquid makeup everyone was talking about. She was glad to find, in due time, that she hadn't been looking too bad. Touching up with the liquid stuff didn't quite provide the amazing matte finish the advertisements described. In fact, she wondered if she didn't look a bit like one of the waxworks she'd seen that time in Cardiff. But there was no time to redo it. Taking a last peep at herself, she reflected gratefully, as her father had often exhorted her to do, that she was very lucky to be quite pretty and have all that naturally curly, naturally blonde hair. Mr. Hughes Evans had a table for two when she joined him. He took the bag of crisps off her chair and laid them reverently at his side. Gloria thought he seemed very attached to them. What did he want them for? And so many of them, too. It was a puzzle. Perhaps he guessed her curiosity because he said,
"They're for the party. They said I was to get them."
"Oh, I see. Who will be there? At the party? You did tell me when you asked me, but I'm afraid I've forgotten."
"Well, not many people you know, I'm afraid. There'll be Mr. Pugh, of course, from allowances, and his wife, and Miss Harry from repayments, and my brother, you've met him, haven't you, and my dentist, and his friend, and two or three of my brother's friend, about a dozen altogether."
"Oh, it sounds lovely," Gloria said. A little tremor of excitement ran through her. Then she remembered about poise. She arranged herself at the table like one of the models who showed off jewellery on TV and purposely took a long while deciding what to have when the waitress came, though she'd known ever since passing Bevan and Bevan's that she was going to have mixed grill with French fried potatoes. She was soon so lost in thoughts of the party and in enjoying eating that it was like a voice in a dream when Mr. Hughes Evans said,
"Of course, the real difficulties come when we have to decide whether something's income or capital."
Gloria looked up, trying not to seem startled.
"Oh, yes."
"For instance," Mr. Hughes Evans went on, drawing a long fishbone from his mouth, "take the case of a man who buys a house, lives in it for a bit, and then sells it. Any profit he might make wouldn't be assessable. It's capital, not income.
So he wouldn't have to pay tax on it, is that right?"
"Now, for goodness sake, don't go and get that mixed up with the tax on the property itself, the Schedule A tax."
"Oh, yes, I've heard of that. There were some figures I..."
"That still has to be paid."
He leaned forward in an emphatic way.
"Unless the man is exempt, of course."
"Oh, yes."
"Now, it'd be much easier, as you can imagine, to catch him on the sale of several houses. But even then, we'd need to show that there was a trade. If the chap buys them as investments, just to get the rents, well, then you couldn't catch him if he sold out later at a profit. There'd be no trade, you see."
"No," Gloria swallowed a mushroom stalk whole. "No trade."
At last, it was time to go. In the street, Gloria said,
"Well, thank you very much, Mr. Hughes Evans. I enjoyed the food ever so much."
But he wasn't listening. He was rubbing his chin hard with some of his fingers and beginning to say, "Shave. Got to have a shave before the party. That blade this morning..." They boarded a bus and went a long way on it. Mr. Hughes-Evans explained, quoting figures, that a taxi wasn't worthwhile and that he personally was damned if he was going to lay out all that cash on a car simply to make a splash and impress a few snobs. Mr. Hughes-Evans said that his digs, where the shave was going to happen, were quite near Mr. Pugh's house, where the party was going to happen. He added that this would give them just nice time. Gloria sat in the sitting room, which had more books in it than she'd ever seen in a private house before, and looked at the book Mr. Hughes-Evans had dropped into her lap before going up to have his shave. It was called Income Taxes in the Commonwealth, and he'd said it would probably interest her. She found it didn't do that, and had gone to see if there were any interesting books in the bookcase, when the door opened and an old lady looked in. She and Gloria stared at each other for about half a minute, and Gloria's cheeks felt hot again. The old lady's top lip had vertical furrows, and there was something distrustful about her. She gave a few grunts with a puff of breath at the beginning of each one, and went out. Gloria didn't like to touch the bookcase now, and told herself that the party would make everything worthwhile. After they'd left, what Gloria had been half expecting all along happened, though not in the way she'd half expected. It now appeared that they were much too early, and Mr. Hughes-Evans took her into a park for a sit-down. Before long, he said,
"You know, Gloria, it means a lot to me, your coming out with me today."
This was hard to answer, so she just nodded.
"I think you're the prettiest girl I've ever been out with."
"Well, thank you very much, Mr. Hughes-Evans."
"Won't you call me Waldo? I wish you would."
"Oh, no, I don't think I could, really."
"Why not?"
I don't think I know you well enough."
He stared at her with the large brown eyes she'd so often admired in the office, but which he now thought looked soft. Sadly, he said,
"If only you knew what I feel about you, Gloria, and how much you mean to me."
"Funny, isn't it? I couldn't have guessed what you were going to do to me, make me feel, I mean, when I first saw you."
He lurched suddenly towards her, but drew back at the last minute.
"If only you could feel for me just a tiny bit of what I feel for you. You've no idea what it would mean to me."
An approach of this kind was new to Gloria, and it flustered her. If, instead of all this daft talk, Mr. Hughes-Evans had tried to kiss her, she'd probably have let him, even in this park place. She could have handled that. But all he'd done was make her feel foolish and awkward. Abruptly, she stood up.
"I think we ought to be going."
"Oh, not yet. Please, please don't be offended."
"I'm not offended, honest."
He got up too and stood in front of her.
"I'd give anything in the world to think that you didn't think too hardly of me. I feel such a worm."
"No, you're not to talk so silly."
When it was much too late, Mr. Hughes-Evans did try to kiss her, saying as he did so,
"Oh, my darling."
Gloria sidestepped him.
"I'm not your darling," she said decisively.
After that, neither spoke until they arrived at the house where the party was. Mr. Hughes-Evans' daft talk, Gloria thought, was to be expected from the owner of that Macintosh hat, which he still wore. When Mr. Hughes-Evans' brother caught sight of her, their eyes met for a long moment. It was because of him. She'd seen him once or twice when he called in at the office, that she'd accepted Mr. Hughes-Evans' invitation. Originally, she'd intended just to look at him across the room, while she left Mr. Hughes-Evans to unpack his crisps and put them in bowls, while the brother, it was funny to think that he was Mr. Hughes-Evans too, in a way, took her across the room, sat her on a sofa, and started talking about interesting things.